scripture as we read from the Gospel of Matthew, chapter 13, reading verses 24 to 30 and 36 to 43. He put before them another parable. The kingdom of heaven may be compared to someone who sowed good seed in his field, but while everybody was asleep, an enemy came and sowed weeds among the wheat and then went away. So when the plants came up and bore grain, then the weeds appeared as well. And the slaves of the householder came and said to him, "Master, did you not sow good seed in your field? Where then did these weeds come from?" And he answered, "An enemy has done this." The slaves said to him, "Then do you want us to go and gather them?" But he replied, "No, for in gathering the weeds, you would uproot the wheat along with them. Let both of them grow together until the harvest. And at harvest time, I will tell the reapers, 'Collect the weeds first and bind them in bundles to be burned, but gather the wheat into my barn.'" Then he left the crowds and went into his house. And his disciples approached him, saying, "Explain to us the parable of the weeds of the field." He answered, "The one who sows the good seed is the Son of Man. The field is the world, and the good seed are the children of the kingdom. The weeds are the children of the evil one, and the enemy who sowed them is the devil. The harvest is the end of the age, and the reapers are angels. Just as the weeds are collected and burned up with fire, so it will be at the end of the age. The Son of Man will send his angels, and they will collect out of his kingdom all causes of sin and all evildoers, and they will throw them into the furnace of fire, where there will be weeping and gnashing of teeth. And then the righteous will shine like the sun in the kingdom of their Father. Let anyone with ears listen." This is the word of the Lord. Let us pray. O Lord, may the words of my mouth and may the thoughts of all our hearts be pleasing in your sight, O Lord, our strength and our Redeemer. Well, sending these young people off to Montreat Youth Conference, it reminds me of the first time I did that as, you know, a leader. I was a seminary student, and I'd gone as a youth, but I'd never gone as, you know, leadership. And so what happens in seminary is after your first academic year, you get put with a church for the summer as an intern. And I got put with to a very large church in Clearwater, Florida, called Trinity Presbyterian Church. And it had 2,000 members. And a big, big youth group, a big senior high youth group and a big middle school youth group. And when I went down there, I the year before I went to seminary, I was in a band for 2 years. I was in a Christian band for 2 years touring. I had no experience as a, you know, youth minister at all. And so my first Sunday there, it was really, really sweet of them. They had this kind of welcome to the church youth thing for me out at a park. And so I went out there, and I could tell as I walked up, there were two distinct groups of kids in that youth group. Over here, playing volleyball with really nice kind of cute shorts and tops were the kind of what I would call the good kids, you know, and their parents had little camp chairs around and kind of applauding when they made a point, you know. And so I went over there and met folks and hit a ball a little bit, but I couldn't help but notice that underneath this big old live oak tree was another group of kids from the youth group. And they were smoking cigarettes, and they had guitars, and they had on jeans and, you know, rock t-shirts. And I sat there and thought about that for a minute, and I went, you know what? These kids at volleyball here, they're going to be there. You know, they're going to be in the youth group. I know they are. Those kids over there, I don't know if they're going to be there. I need to go over there. And so I went over there, and I sat down, and I had on jeans and a rock t-shirt, too. And I actually had long hair and a bushier beard than I do now. And And so they gave me a guitar, you know, and I started playing with them. They, you know, this was right after some of these songs came out. So I played Stairway to Heaven. I knew how to play Stairway to Heaven. If you don't know that song, ask your parents. And it's also known as Stairway. There are signs in music stores that say no Stairway. And Freebird. And, you know, and I got along with them, and they offered me cigarettes, and I said no. And, you know, but we got along really well. I found out later that some of the kids did not know I was the new minister. They just thought I was some guy in the park that had come up and sat down with them, and they thought, I wonder why that guy never came to the welcome to the church party. But anyway, I started hearing stories about this that group, and I thought it was so important for them to be a part of the youth group, you know, and I thought it was really important when we were going to go to Montreat for Montreat Youth Conference. I thought it was important for them to go too. And so you had this one guy whose name was Dave, and Dave was a really good guitar player. He was very, very alienated by the church, though. He didn't come to worship. You know, he didn't come to much of anything. And I could kind of tell why, because his parents were kind of like Mr. and Mrs. Church. You know, they came to everything, and they were, I could see why he couldn't relate to them. Let's just say that. And so I really wanted him to come. But I had, as we were getting ready to go to Montreat, I had some parents come and talk to me and say, I'm not sure I want my child spending a week with those other kids. You know, they might corrupt them. I don't know if I want that or not. And, you know, and I was just naive enough to go, oh, no, don't worry, I'm here. I'll make sure nothing happens. And I really wanted to go, but there was so much suspicion with those kids. And so we finally decided to go. They had two buses. This church had two 15-passenger buses called Godspeed 1 and Godspeed 2. No lie. And so Annette was driving one of them, and I was driving one of them. And, of course, I drove what they call the smoking bus. Because these kids couldn't, they were nicking so bad, they couldn't go all the way, you know, anywhere without smoking. And so we had all the windows open, the smoke's pouring out, and I'm driving, and Annette drove the bus of the non-smokers. And the way you have to do it from there, you have to drive all day to Atlanta the first day. And then the previous director of Christian education was at a church, and we slept on the fellowship hall floor, and then the next day got up and went to Montreat. Well, because we had to leave so early, I decided that we were going to load the trailer. We're pulling a U-Haul trailer for the baggage, because it was packed full of people. And I said, let's meet at the church at 6 p.m. the night before and load all the bags. Let's load all the bags. And then we won't have to do that at 6 a.m. the next morning. We got all the bags loaded, and let's go. Which is, you know, kind of what y'all were doing today. Load everything. So there was this older kid hanging around while we were loading. He was kind of an older kid who didn't have any friends his age, and so he hung out with the youth group, you know. And he was going to joking around. He said, Jim, I don't know, man. I checked some of these bags if I was you. There might be some contraband. I checked some of these bags. And I started thinking about that as I drove the trailer home. I thought, you know, that's not a bad idea. So I picked out a couple of bags and kind of looked at them. And sure enough, there was a fifth of vodka in one of the bags. And it was Dave's bag. It was Dave's bag. And I thought, how do you handle this? Because if I call him out, he will never go to church again. I know he won't, you know. But I can't have him mixing drinks for the youth group either. So how do we handle that in Montreat? And so we were going to be in a dorm called Montreat Anderson Hall in the bottom floor. And so what I did was I took the bottle in there, and it had the liquor seal on it. And I put on a pot of water, and I steamed open the liquor seal. And then opened it, and I poured all the vodka out except for about that much in the bottom, about an inch. And I filled it up with water. And then I screwed on the cap again, and I took Elmer's glue and glued the liquor seal back on. And then I put it back into his bag, zipped it up, and never said a word to anybody except the adults. And so when I told the adult leaders, I said, listen, you know, I found this. And I explained my reasoning. I really don't want to lose him. You know, I really don't. So let's just watch and see what happens. Well, the funniest thing was, these kids, of course, Dave's room was the room everybody wanted to be in. Everybody was coming in and out. And there was a Country Time lemonade machine in the hall, and everybody's going in, and they were buying country lemonade and going into Dave's room. And then we went into Dave's room, and they're like, they're all, hey, you know, and they were mixing water and lemonade. And so that was my first experience with Montreat Youth Conference. And I'm going to pause right there because I'll come back to Dave. I won't leave you hanging on Dave. I'm going to tell you what happened to Dave at the end of this. But, you know, youth ministry is one of those things where if you're talking about the wheat and the weeds, it's too early to know which are wheat and which are weeds, right? Everybody is developing. Everybody's growing. And the adults in that church had already decided that Dave was a weed and that their child was a wheat, and they didn't want him in the same field. And I think that is one of the things that is so interesting about this parable, what Jesus says about it, because it's a surprise, and I want to tell you what the surprise is. So there is the amazing thing to me. Okay, you know, last week we did the parable of the sower, and that's in the other gospels. This is not in any other gospel, this one today. It's only in Matthew, and it's the only place in the whole Bible. It's this one right here. And they're back to back. And so there is, the astounding thing to me about this is absolutely agriculturally accurate. There is a kind of weed in Israel that is called durnel. And there is a Latin word for it, but I don't know Latin, so I'm not going to tell you. But durnel, and it gets in the middle of wheat fields, and it looks identical. It, as it grows up, you can't tell the difference. And so what they do is they wait until harvest, and then the grains, when you get the wheat grains and the darnel grains are a different color. The darnel grains are gray, and the wheat grains are golden. So then after threshing, they can get rid of the darnel. And darnel is noxious. If you eat enough of it, you will get ill. And if you eat too much, you will die. It will kill you. And what's really interesting to me is that the Roman government actually had laws against sowing darnel in somebody's wheat field, which is what happened. An enemy came and sowed the darnel into the wheat field. And so the servants are saying, hey, let us go in there and rip all this stuff out. And Jesus says, no, because if you rip it out, you may harm the wheat. And that's really true, because what happens with darnel is it grows up in there, its roots intertwine and mix with the wheat roots. So if you were to pull darnel out, you're going to pull some roots out from the plants near it. And so all this stuff that Jesus has got going on here is really true. I mean, it's amazing how accurate it is. And so the question is, when the servants say, do you not want us to get rid of this evil in the world? Jesus says, no, let it be. Let it stay there. And at the end of time, it will be sorted. And, it's a interesting idea, because you think we should go out there and root the world out of evil. But I want to read a couple of things to you of people that have said, some of you know I've gotten really interested in Debbie Thomas, who's Episcopal priest. And here's what she says about this. She said, Jesus insists on patience, humility, and restraint when it comes to patrolling the borders of the field. He asks us, even as we acknowledge the pernicious reality of evil, to accept his timing instead of ours when it comes to destroying it. Why? Because there is no way we can police the wheat field without damaging the wheat, which is true. There is no way we can rid ourselves of everything bad without distorting everything that's good. When we rush ahead of God and start yanking weeds left and right, we do harms to ourselves and to the field. Our sincerity devolves into arrogance. Our love devolves into judgment. Our holiness devolves into hypocrisy. and the field suffers. Michael Reniger is a Catholic priest in Richmond, and I heard him talk about this. And he was talking about how easy it is for us to judge other people as a church, and how easy it is for us to decide who the weeds are and what the weed is and who the weeds are. And he had this litany, he says, you see a girl with purple hair and a tongue ring and say, that's all I need to know about her. Or a homeless man sleeping on a park bench, that's all I need to know about him. He's gay, that's all I need to know. She's divorced, that's all I need to know. They're Muslim, they're Mexican, they're Jewish, they're immigrants. That's all we need to know. He drinks, she's unfaithful. They don't go to church. That's all we need to know. She watches Fox News. He likes CNN. That's all we need to know. If we make judgments too quickly, then we might give up on people too quickly. And we fail to see the Christ who is in every one of us. This parable of the wheat and tares is also the story of how patient God is with each of us. And that's another side of this too, is there's the finger pointing part about judgment and the hypocrisy of judging others. And then thinking about ourselves, because we're sinners. And we're going to stay sinners. We're going to try to get better. You know, that's what sanctification is, that we don't keep doing the same stuff, we get better. But it's pretty early sometimes to say what's wheat and what is tares, what's weeds. And again, Debbie Thomas says this. She said, the fact is the seeds of God's life in us are still young and growing. Our roots are delicate and tender, and they need time. They need lifetimes. This is not to say that we should ignore evil, but it is to say that we should move gently and with great care, recognizing that our task is to grow the good. This is really good. Grow the good, not burn the bad. Our job is to bless the field, not curse it. Remember, the field is not ours, it is God's, and only God knows it intimately enough to tend it. Only God loves it enough to bring it safely to harvest. So you can think of a lot of different things, that ways we do this to ourselves and ways we do it with other people. I told you I'd return to the story of Dave. We went that whole week in Montreat without telling them that they were mixing water and lemonade. They did not. And they thought they were getting buzzed. And they would act buzzed to each other. But anyway, when we came back, they were up 2 weeks later giving me a going away party. And they all were, it was a good vibe about Jim Morgan. And they said, speech, anything you want to say. And I said, yeah, there's one thing. And I told them the whole story, and I said, now, I don't know whose it was, but it was a bottle of vodka, and we poured it out, and y'all were mixing water and lemonade, and they all died laughing. And I cut my eye over at Dave, and he was beet red, and everybody was, and he came up to me with a grin after that, and he said, that was pretty smart. I said, yeah, and Dave stayed with the youth group, though, and he kept coming. And I came back for a year there, and we had a band, and a Christian band, and he played guitar in it. It's not like he was great after that. I mean, I took the whole youth group to see a concert in Lakeland. The band was called Yes. Took the youth group. Dave went, but with another group of people, and famously never saw them at all because he had had so much to drink that day. he was throwing up in the bathroom the whole time the concert was going on. But he went to Clemson University, and he did really well. And then he asked me to officiate his wedding a few years after that. And then he got a great job with Boeing in Seattle. And you know what he's doing now? He's got teenage kids. And my son's band played in Seattle, and he invited them to stay with them. He plays guitar in the praise band at his church. And he's an elder in that church. You know, and it just shows you, if you pull up the weeds too soon, what you did was you pulled up some wheat. But it looked like you can't tell the difference, you know. And I think we need to do that with people. It's God's job to do the judging, not ours. It's God's job to later on pass judgment. Our job is to welcome. Our job is to be a place of grace and hospitality. You know, you have people who have committed crimes, gone to prison, and have gotten out of prison. That doesn't mean they're weeds. God's not finished with them yet. You have people who have struggled with addiction. That doesn't mean they're weeds. And it takes being patient with people and welcoming and saying, come on in and receive this grace. And so I got to close the sermon with a Rachel Held Evans quote that we've used so much in this church, and I just think it's so important to say multiple times. She says, this is from Searching for Sunday, "There are always folks who fancy themselves bouncers to the heavenly banquet, charged with keeping the wrong people away from the table and out of the church. But the gospel doesn't need a coalition devoted to keeping the wrong people out. It needs a family of sinners saved by grace, committed to tearing down the walls, throwing open the doors, and shouting, welcome. There's bread and wine. Come eat with us and talk. This isn't a kingdom for the worthy. It's a kingdom for the hungry." God will deal with the evil. God will deal with the weeds. We just grow wheat. Let's pray. Lord, forgive us when we start deciding we are going to do your job and judge and censure. Thank you that you never give up on us. Thank you that you see the wheat in us that can be nurtured and can grow so that it bears fruit. Bear fruit in us, God, please. Help us to welcome others and not decide that they are weeds. Let us see your image in them. Help us to be a welcoming, inclusive church. And pour out your spirit upon us. And help us grow. In Jesus' name, amen.